And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and we are continuing our conversation about the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument with Executive Director of Grand Staircase Escalante Partners, Dr. Jackie Grant. Dr. Grant, welcome to This Green Earth.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
I want to get started learning more about you and your background and the organization that you are currently leading, the Grand Staircase Escalante Partners. So share with us your path and how you got to that role and what that role is.
Absolutely. I have a very convoluted path that goes in many different directions. And to get there, let's start back with my graduate school work. I went to Cornell University and I got a master's degree and a PhD in two different fields, animal science and neurobiology and behavior. But during that time, while I was studying caterpillars, I would go out at night and drag all the other graduate students out into the field to help frogs and salamanders cross the road. So I've been interested in conservation for a really long time, and I've been interested in public engagement just as long. So we would go out and we would move these frogs and toads across the road during the breeding season, which we don't really see quite so much here in Utah, but we have other conservation issues here in Utah that I learned about once I moved here in 2011 to become a professor at Southern Utah University. So my husband and I were, well, he still is a professor at Southern Utah University, and I was a professor there for about 12 and a half years in two different departments, biology and geosciences. And in the summertime, because you don't get paid in the summer, I would write grants to work with public lands throughout Southern Utah. And I ended up working with all the different agencies that manage land in Southern Utah. So the Bureau of Land Management, the National Park Service, the Forest Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service. I had friends in all of those places, and a lot of my work took me out to the Grand Staircase. So I finally went on a Fulbright to New Zealand in 2023. And that's when I decided I really wanted to get in full time into this world of conservation. And I applied to be the executive director of Grand Staircase Escalante Partners.
And so this is the job that you're doing now. And it seems like as of late, you've had your hands full. Let's get a little bit of history about how it became a national monument. It was established by President Clinton in September 18th of 1996. And it was to protect historic and scientific objects. And there have been a handful of management plans since. Can you give us some history on these management plans and how they have changed or evolved over the years?
Sure. So the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument was the very first national monument to be included in the Bureau of Land Management's conservation land system. So this is a system of hundreds of different special places all throughout the country that are managed by the Bureau of Land Management. And I emphasize that point because a lot of people think, oh, it's Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and it's a national park. And it is absolutely not a national park. And what that means in terms of management is that the BLM manages lands and resources and protected objects in a different way than the National Park Service does. And what we have seen over history with the Grand Staircase is that initially people thought, well, this isn't going to be super complicated, right? We know what the BLM's mission is. We have a multiple use mandate, which means that in addition to protecting objects, we also are managing for grazing and timber and mining and all the different things that the BLM considers. And these days that now includes recreation and other uses of the land. And so at the time, the very first management plan, which I think was finalized in the early 2000s, so it took a little bit, was fairly simple, pretty short, not a lot of detail. The next time a management plan came through and was approved was in 2020. And at that point in time, the monument had just been shrunk in size. So the 2020 management plan only considered between 800,000 and 1 million acres instead of the full 1.87 million acres that exist today within the monument. And then in 2025, the Bureau of Land Management had to revise the management plan because the monument was big again. So it was back to 1.87 million acres, and the management plan needed to reflect that. And in the meantime, people had begun to consider the importance of tribal voices. And so there was a much more detailed section in that 2025 plan that considered tribal voices and considered some more conservation aspects of managing land, such as dark skies being important, right? Only 20% of the world can actually see the Milky Way anymore. And the Grand Staircase is one of those places where you can see the Milky Way. The importance of native plants, right? Our public lands are, they're very important to many, many kinds of animals. And so if we use native plants, that is a decision that changes the biodiversity of the landscape. If we use non-native plants, which is a common practice, that also is going to impact the biodiversity of the landscape, particularly bees. And bees were called out in the 2021 presidential proclamation because of their amazing diversity throughout the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.
Right.
Over 660 species of native bees are
Right.
here. And if you compare that to all of the United States east of the Mississippi River, we almost have as many bee species as that huge area east of the Mississippi River.
Yes, it is absolutely astonishing. The biodiversity that area affords and the sheer number of bee species really is incredible. So it's understandable that having guidelines or a management plan in place can greatly benefit how humans navigate this vast area. So when a management plan is up for discussion or needs an update, who has input on this? And did you have a role in helping with the 2025 edition of the plan?
The monument management plan was finalized in 2025, but the process to build it began long before then. And I was involved as a professor at Southern Utah University because I was on something called the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument Advisory Committee. And that committee was specifically created because of mandates in the presidential proclamations, all of them, where this is a mandated thing. Many, many national monuments have an advisory committee. So I was part of it, and I initially represented the general public, and we were just in the process of transitioning me into a position on the advisory committee that represented wildlife and plants, so science related specifically to wildlife and plants. But other things to consider is that that committee was designed to represent many, many different voices. So there was a grazing representative, and there was a tribal representative. Arguably, there should have been more than one tribal representative because multiple tribes have a voice when it comes to the management of the monument. There was a recreation and dispersed camping representative. So if you can find all this information online in terms of the composition of the committees, but local government and state government were also represented. So this management or monument advisory committee had a decent role. They were not the only role or the only members or the only voice in putting together the plan, but they had regular meetings with the Bureau of Land Management during this whole entire process.
So you are operating now under this plan that was adopted in 2025, and you have all these different voices that have come to the table. And, you know, you can't always please everybody, but were you feeling good about this management plan? And did it feel like it was favorable in continuing to keep the flora and fauna of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument intact? And did you feel good about it?
Yes and no. So what I would say about the management plan is exactly what you just said. No management plan that takes into consideration everybody's opinion is going to please everybody. because it's such a huge group of people who all work together. And from the perspective of the conservation community, we thought this was as good as it could be. And it wasn't perfect, and it wasn't our ideal management plan, but it captured a lot of the things that we thought were important in terms of protecting the objects. And I keep using this word object because that's how the presidential proclamations are worded.
Right.
They talk about the objects that are going to be protected in the monument when it's created. This management plan did a little bit more to call out protecting those objects that were identified in the presidential proclamations. And we thought that was important. And we also thought it was really important to get a management plan in place that actually applied to the current size of the monument and not the size of a monument that essentially didn't exist anymore, the one that was designated in 2017.
Sure. And so, can we get a definition of what is meant by those scientific objects? What would that entail?
Oh, that's going to be specific to each monument. So for the Grand Staircase, it specifically calls out the importance of night skies, the importance of the culture, both of ancestral cultures of different tribes, but also of modern cultures, pioneers, and the people who live there now, right? It is very encompassing in terms of including people across the board. It also calls out the biodiversity of the area, the amazing geology of the area, and perhaps what Krista Sadler was talking about, the incredible paleontology of the area. You know, the Grand Staircase encompasses multiple geologic staircases, and that's one of the reasons why it's so important, because those stairs, which are all geologic formations, essentially cover different periods of time, and they're all exposed throughout the monument, which means scientists can really get in there and start looking at the fossils, but then also the modern plants and animals that live there now.
And so, coming to present day, recently there was a proposed change in the management plan or a potential change. Can you share with me just what happened with our Utah legislators recently?
Yeah, sure. So I believe it was in January of this year, our Utah legislators, specifically Senator Mike Lee and Congresswoman Celeste Malloy, introduced a joint resolution to disapprove the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument approved resource management plan, which is a whole lot of jargon and frankly does not bring people in. Draw them in to learn about what's going on. But what that meant was they had gotten an opinion from the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, that said this management plan, it's a rule, and that has a specific legal definition such that Congress could apply the Congressional Review Act, the CRA, in a way that once something is determined to be a rule, they could say, hey, we're going to vote on this because there are problems with this rule that we need to review at the congressional level and perhaps get rid of the rule. So our legislators said, we're going to use this Congressional Review Act to get rid of the rule, which would mean that the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument would not have a guiding document for all of these different users who engage in the monument on a regular basis. And you can imagine the conflict that would follow after that if we all didn't have a set of rules to guide us as we use the monument.
Right. It sounds like you're opening up a bit of a Pandora box if you do that. And it also seems like this could be a precedent that could perhaps be detrimental to other national sites.
Yes, absolutely. So there were a lot of conversations around this. What exactly would happen if they used the Congressional Review Act to rescind our management plan? How would that roll out and affect other national monuments? Because once it has been shown that you can use the Congressional Review Act to get rid of a monument management plan, what's to stop all the other states that don't like their monument management plans? Or what's to stop specific interest groups to say, you know what, I think we should have gotten more. than we initially asked for in this monument management plan, we're going to ask our legislators to do the same thing. So it was a really big concern among many different groups, not just conservation groups, because you know how sometimes the loudest voice in the room can be the one that drives the conversation, and it doesn't necessarily mean that's taking the conversation into a good place.
I know this is speculation now because it didn't go through, but what were some of those fears for conservationists? What were potentials that you could see as being harmful to that area?
Specifically for the Grand Staircase, we were concerned that the legislators would revert the management plan back to the 2020 plan, which would bring it back to the smaller sized monument. And then you have one, a situation of chaos, because the monument as it currently exists is not the smaller sized version, it's the original size version. And if you put a management plan on the monument for only half its size, how do we manage the other half of the land that's included in the current monument? That was a big concern for sure.
And how would it affect the communities that are kind of those gateway communities and business owners, should that have happened?
Right. So a change in the management plan can affect the people who live around the monument and use it on an everyday basis for their business, because it takes away some of their guidance. So if I'm an outdoor outfitter and I bring people out onto the monument, I have a permit with the federal government to tell them what I'm doing, how many people I'm bringing out there, where I'm going for safety. And if we take away those monument management plans, it can affect some of the permitting and could bring again chaos to our local business people who really rely on the monument, not just for grazing, but for their, some of them, for their livelihoods related to guiding and other activities. There is a off-road vehicle industry more in Kanab, Utah, and they would need to know how do they interact with the monument? Where are they allowed to go? Is it just everywhere now?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it even fewer places than it used to be? So all of that information is contained within a resource management plan. And without having the plan in place, people then don't know exactly what the rules are and how that will impact their businesses.
Yeah, and I'd have to imagine that there is a lot of climate and restoration work happening as well. And so that could also maybe shift or change should that have gone through.
Yes, we have some permits at Grand Staircase Escalante Partners, and that is to do some of our work where we go out and pick up trash. We talk to the BLM on a regular basis so they know where are we going. What kind of trash are we picking up? Are we making sure not to disturb archaeological sites? And are we doing our work in a way that protects the objects within the monument as declared by the presidential proclamation?
So share with me the mission of your organization and how that kind of fits within that plan and how you work on a day-to-day basis to help maintain this beautiful landscape.
Sure. So our mission is generally to protect the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument and its connected landscapes and watersheds by using science, conservation, restoration, and education as the main ways that we work. On a day-to-day basis, what that means is that we are taking people out into the field to help clean up visitor impacts. The monument gets about 1 million visitors per year, and with the growing interest and overcrowding in national parks, we are starting to see more people find the Grand Staircase. And, you know, not everybody knows about wag bags, which is how you dispose of human waste when you are out in the desert. So we actually will clean up places where people have pooped in the desert.
Wow,
and
okay.
we yeah so we don't want to leave mummified poop in the desert, because that impacts the experience people have when they go out to the monument. We also work on social trails. We help clean up social trails so that there's just one trail, and we protect the biocrust, which is a really important biological conglomeration of organisms that help hold the soil in place and reduce the amount of dust that flies up onto our amazing mountains and impacts our snowpack in Utah. We do work with native plant seed restoration. So we will go out and collect thousands of seeds, but we do not overcollect. And we collect these seeds from native plants to promote pollinator habitat and do restoration after wildfires and other types of disturbance on the monument and beyond. And then we have another program where we mostly work within the Escalante River watershed and take out non-native species of trees called Russian olives. And the reason that we focus on these particular trees is because they love the desert watershed and they will actually change how the river flows and they will change the animals and plants that can live within the Escalante River watershed if they're allowed to completely overcrowd the water.
If our listeners wanted to stay apprised of actions like the ones that were recently taken by Utah legislators around the National Monuments Management Plan, what is your suggestion for the best way to stay in the know?
I would say one of the best ways to stay apprised, interestingly enough, is through social media. On Instagram, the conservation community has a really big voice on Instagram. The Conservation Lands Foundation supports all in the Bureau of Land Management managed national monuments and other conservation lands like scenic rivers and trail historic trails, that sort of thing. So that's one area. Checking in, signing up for newsletters for organizations that are associated with the Grand Staircase and other protected lands is another way to do it. And volunteering with your favorite nonprofit organization to get on the ground and, really learn from the people who are working in the area what's going on.
And do you feel like this has been put to bed, or is this red flagged at this point and monitored?
We are absolutely concerned about this. It has not been put to bed. The Congressional Review Act could potentially come back, but this time it would require, I believe, a full 60 votes in the Senate instead of the simple majority of 51 votes that it initially required. And that is because they've run out of time based on how the law defines time when you use the Congressional Review Act to look at rules and decide whether or not they should be rescinded. So we are absolutely monitoring the situation. And the Conservation Lands Foundation actually has a person in Washington, D.C., and that's their job, is to check in, see what's going on in Congress and the Senate, and making sure to see that whenever something new comes up, that we have an eye on it and we're prepared for it. So it's unlikely that the Senate could get 60 votes at this point in time. However, there are other ways that they might come after the resource management plan. I mean, a more typical way would be to revise and edit the resource management plan, which is an allowable activity and something that they maybe could have done to start with if they had a legitimate reason for revising the management plan.
Well, we will also be keeping an eye on this, and we have been speaking with the executive director of the Grand Staircase Escalante Partners, Dr. Jackie Grant. And what is the website for your organization, and what is the Instagram handle that people can stay up to date on what you are doing?
Sure thing. Our website is gsenm.org, just like Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument.org. So gsenm.org. And our Instagram handle is Grand Staircase Partners on,
Great.
yeah. And we post a fair bit about what's going on, not just boring things like the Congressional Review Act, but also the amazing accomplishments that our team is making in the field and all the great things that we're doing with volunteers.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you.